Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
There's been a lot in the news recently about the dangers of artificial intelligence. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is organising an international summit in the autumn to discuss what has been described by some as the potential existential threat to humanity posed by AI. With us today is Alan Smeaton, who's Professor of Computing at Dublin City University. Alan, good to see you again. So now, just yesterday, with major international talks between the UK and the United States, and this Atlantic Declaration was signed. Rishi Sunak and Joe Biden agreed this. And artificial intelligence is up there now with defence, the economy and climate.
Climate change.
Why are you laughing at that? Yeah, what did you make of it?
It's in the same level of seriousness as...
Yeah.
I think it was... A bit of a stroke from Rishi Sunak to try and get to position the UK as being a big player in the artificial intelligence space, because everybody, every major country, every major economy wants to be seen as the go-to place, the centre of the universe for artificial intelligence research and development and the ecosystem around it. And that was what he was doing there. And I imagine what he was probably doing in the background was he was saying, we're not as highly regulated as the European Union would be, you know, where everything has to be approved by 20-something countries. We're much more agile and we're much more fast-moving and therefore work with us rather than work with EU countries Singapore.
Do you not accept all of the warnings around artificial intelligence being an existential threat to humanity?
No, I think every technology that's introduced, there was a great quote from a guy named Melvin Kranzberg, and he said, technology is neither good nor bad, nor is it neutral. It's how it is used.
Mm-hmm.
So while, you know, we talk about, or some people talk about existential threats to humanity, that's we're still at the stage of bedding in, what is this artificial intelligence? What can it do? What is its limitations? And in sometime in the future, we look back on these discussions, which have prompted up over the last 6 months, and we've said they were all a little bit ridiculous, weren't they? Because it comes from the fear-mongering and the scaremongering that some people present as the natural reaction.
But that still means that we're going to need some sort of international regulation
yeah.
on how we manage these things.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody drew an analogy recently, which I liked, which is that somebody's got into a car and is driving down a motorway and the steering wheel is getting a little bit loose and there's no brakes and there's no guardrails. So they're calling somebody for help. Now, how do you slow down a runaway motor car? Well, you can use a stinger, that's external regulation, but you don't know what the consequences of that would be. It could bounce from one side of the motorway to another. Or you could fly in a wrench to tighten the steering wheel through the sunroof, and that's internal regulation. Or you could say to somebody, fix the car yourself. So there's no correct way to do this regulation. You do it externally, or you have the AI developers and companies do it themselves. We don't know how to do this mm-hmm. regulation. And that's where we are at the moment.
To follow through on your analogy, you can't allow the car to crash.
Yeah, you can't, yeah, unless it runs out of petrol, for example, or EV charge, whatever it might be. No, you need to do something, but nobody is sure what exactly to do and what is the best way to slow down this careering vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, I mean, the analogy has got goods and bads associated with it, because there's good things coming from the use of AI and the use of these large language models within the last six months.
And people aren't worried about that. But we've had so many experts now coming out and sounding alarm bells on this. And I was looking at this commentator. She's a computer science professor and AI researcher at Duke University, Cynthia Rudin. And she was on CNN this week and said, do we really need more evidence that AI's negative impact could be as big as nuclear war?
Yeah, Oppenheimer had exactly the same feelings. Great movie coming out later this summer with Cillian Murphy on exactly that topic, and we hope they use those lines. But yeah, every new technology which is as fundamentally changing has got those fear moments at its initial deployment as people try to wrestle with and grapple with what it means.
So it's your central point. We've been here before with new technology, but there really isn't any need to worry. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying there's a need to be concerned. There's a need to trap it and corral it and put guardrails, which is the often used phrase, on it, to regulate it in some way, either self-regulation or regulation from external. Mm-hmm. But basically, it is something for concern, but not for, you know, sleepless nights or for you know, worrying about it.
When it comes to democracy, though, disinformation, yeah. tampering with elections, there was even something during the week where there was an AI image of an explosion behind the Pentagon, which yeah. caused a bit of panic online until the emergency services yeah. in the area came out and said that hasn't yeah. happened. Now, that's a small taste yeah. of what might be to come.
Yeah, and we feared this in the US presidential election with the most recent one with the deep fakes. We discovered it happened in the election prior to that with Cambridge Analytica. Remember that from, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So we know that the scope and the potential for interfering with democracy through disinformation and the spread of misinformation is there. But this recent stuff with AI is makes it easier to generate that disinformation, and therefore we need to be more alert.
Mm-hmm. And we're teaching these machines how to learn. Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah, we've been teaching machines how to learn for, you know, a decade in machine learning and AI. But now we have it in a position where anybody with a computer terminal or a smartphone can access that.
So what if we're really successful at that and the computer system becomes smarter than a human? That's what's at the nub of this, isn't it?
That's the existential threat yeah. narrative.
And how likely is that to happen?
You ask every expert, you're going to get a different answer. My view is that it's not going to happen anytime soon. Some people get themselves into a real knot over it and talk about the existential threat happening in 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it might be. Mm. Ask anybody and you get a different number associated mm. with it. I can't see that happening.
The big advantage then of AI, you spoke about the good things that it's doing. Yeah. Are you seeing that because of your own personal experience, mostly in learning environments?
I'm seeing it in multiple environments. I'm seeing it in the way that everybody will access information through search engines. I'm seeing it in applications like in Photoshop. I'm seeing it in creativity. I'm seeing it in learning right across. There's about 1,000 different applications which use ChatGPT or its underlying technology. About 1,000 different applications have come out since just before Christmas. And all of these are good things.
Mm-hmm. Is it one concern, though, that people might rely on it too much and it may not always be right? We know it's not always right.
Yeah, didn't we say the same over calculators and being able to do mental arithmetic and about word processing and be able to write text?
Mm-hmm.
We've been here before.
Yeah. Do you know what I caught one of my children doing? Asking his maths questions, the answers from Alexa. The other day.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and if his teacher is listening, I've caused a big problem now. But that's one example of it, isn't it?
Yeah. And aren't we right to educate and to expose the our younger generations to something which is going to be so fundamental in their lives?
Mm-hmm. But he won't know how to multiply. Do you think that matters?
I would think that matters, yes.
Yeah, some think it does too.
Yeah, of course that does matter. But I think using the technology to help in his work and in his leisure and in socialisation, all the other things, is something that we all do. And mm-hmm. and I mean, we didn't unlearn how to do multiplication when calculators came around.
Yeah.
There are still some fundamental things, some fundamental aspects of knowledge that we will always need to know.
Okay, and we'll need to plug out the smart speaker as well during homework
yeah.
time.
Yeah, yeah.
Alan, thank you very much. Alan Smeaton, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.